Italy, one of the winners of the war, at least nominally, walked out of the conference because its vast territorial demands were not met. And Italian grievances would have consequences in the rise of the fascist movement that we'll examine shortly. The representatives of non-Western peoples who were gathered received no hearing. They included Vietnamese activist Ho Chi Minh, who would later accede to the ideology of communism. One could see, moreover, in unsettled Europe, a surge of radical revolution. Revolts spread. They were fired in part by the Soviet example and sometimes actually encouraged by the Comintern itself, which sent out agents to further and to encourage such revolts that broke out in Europe. These were revolts that sought to create international civil war, to unleash that world workers' revolution. Red forces, representing the communists, and counter-revolutionary white forces battled in Finland's civil war in 1918, Finns fighting Finns, ending with communist defeat. In Berlin, in January of 1919, the communist Spartacus organization attempted a poorly organized uprising. This failed, and its leaders, the revolutionary Rosa Luxemburg, a remarkable woman, and Karl Liebknecht were murdered by government forces. A later uprising in March 1919 also failed. In November of 1918, Kurt Eisner, a radical socialist down in the south of Germany in Bavaria, declared a socialist republic. After he was assassinated, some of his associates declared a communist republic of Bavaria in April, which was suppressed in May of 1919. It was in this turmoil that an anonymous soldier by the name of Adolf Hitler was observing events in Germany and drawing his conclusions about his own political career. In Hungary, a former prisoner of war who had gone communist while a prisoner of war in Russia, Bela Kun, proclaimed a Soviet state of Hungary in March 1919. It lasted for a remarkably long period, for several months, until August 1919, in part because it was able to rally Hungarian nationalism against Hungary's neighbors to the communist cause. But then ultimately, in August of 1919, Bela Kun was deposed and fled. Such revolts, though they were ultimately all unsuccessful, had raised a specter of communist revolution spread throughout Europe as a whole, and they stirred remarkable fears among Europe's middle classes and would make them all too ready to have sympathies for movements that claim to be working against this threat. The influence of such revolts could also be seen beyond Europe's borders. Worldwide, communist parties were founded with the Comintern's encouragement. It was the policy of the Comintern to cooperate, especially in non-European areas, with nationalist groups, as Bela Kun had done, in fighting against the imperialist powers, to harness these energies and resentments to the cause of leading humanity forward towards a worldwide workers' revolution. The French Communist Party was founded in 1920. Among its founders was Ho Chi Minh, engaged in an internationalist project. In Shanghai, in far-off China, the Chinese Communist Party was founded in 1921 with Mao Zedong, a leader who would play an immense role later in the 20th century among the delegates. At the same time, forces that conceived of themselves as conscious counter-revolutionaries were also mobilizing. In Germany, the democratic government felt forced to employ the so-called Freikorps, or Free Corps mercenaries, to suppress challenges from some of their former comrades, the radical socialists, and to guard Germany's embattled borders. These Freikorps mercenary units had very little sympathy for democracy, but were glad to take the money of the government in order to engage in violence against those whom they saw as their ideological opponents. They saw themselves as perpetrating a white terror of immense brutality in reaction to the red terror that the communists promised in what really amounted to a virtual civil war within Germany itself. The Freikorps were not loyal to the democratic government. Their steel helmets displayed the swastika or broken cross of the ultra-nationalists, not democratic symbols, and they would later turn against that very government. Some Freikorps, in fact, journeyed beyond Germany's borders in 1919 to the Baltic region to continue the war there. Others joined the putsch or revolt attempt in 1920, which failed, and later organized murder squads to kill democratic politicians, and later represented important recruits for the young Nazi party. The German Democratic Weimar Republic would have its politics marked by political violence and repeated uprisings from the left and the right. One could see, in other words, in Europe and Western civilization more broadly, a fragile stability. With growing economic recovery in Europe, a certain stabilization was experienced from 1924 to 1929 in spite of these problems, but as would be discovered, it rested on fragile foundations. Soon after the initial democratic wave, democratic ideas would all too often be on the defensive or in retreat. And then, when the worldwide Great Depression spread from 1929, this would offer extreme movements opportunities, opportunities they would try to seize. In our next lecture, we'll consider how in the Soviet Union, the attempted building of a new society and civilization would offer hope and a shining example, so it seemed, worldwide.